Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Darren, when Roman Reigns came out for the face-to-face with Cody, it was about 52 minutes into the hour. 3 minutes later, he entered the ring. And about a minute later, he spoke his first words. And it didn't feel like it was too long. That song, you know, we talk about how great Roman is and Heyman, and the Usos and Solo's contributed, and obviously Sammy. It's a big part of things for a while. That entrance music, and I know the Shield, or the Succession just started, the Shield. I love that show too. Succession just started last Sunday again, the final season, but, and so I'm kind of in the mood, listening to podcasts about the first episode, soaking that up to, you know, see what others are saying, just like people will be doing for here, us here at PW Torch over the weekend for WrestleMania. Thanks for doing that, everybody. And that music, I mean, I don't get sick of it. It's so perfect. And I want to, you know, run an alternate world scenario of how over, how popular, how successful, how effective the Bloodline would be if they had some bad music, just something that didn't have the gravitas of that. I want to know, how would Roman and Heyman and company have done with everything that they do well, but with sort of, you know, like Jimmy Hart produced WCW entrance music circa 1993 WCW Saturday Night. Or even worse, Ricky Steamboat's theme back in the late 80s. He's a family man. Jimmy, he loves his kids. Cheer for him. Yeah, that's so cool. I just love it. And, I mean, it's going to be – hearing that music to close out Sunday night's WrestleMania, it's going to be so cool. So, anyway, that, I don't think that's the most important thing coming out of the show, but we got to hear a lot of it tonight, and we usually do. It was so good. I also thought Cody was really good. He was, like, loosey-goosey, but also still formal in that sort of – hard to manage way that Cody managed to pull off with the appropriate amount of confidence, but also humility for the moment. I thought it was good. I like seeing Cody comfortable in his own skin and pushing the borders a little bit of seeming like he's scared to make a misstep. And I understand that after what happened in AEW and the pressure of walking into a successful company and a successful storyline of the Bloodline, but I thought he was good tonight, and I thought he had the crowd with him. So anyway, Darren, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the second part of it was really good, where he kind of went on the offense. I will push back on your assessment a little bit because the rap turned me against him.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure about, but you know, well, go ahead. I mean, I know what you're saying, and like, I can see that. But I just like Cody not, you know, he's so formal. So when he kind of gets comfortable and loosens up, but I guess it'd be interesting to find out what the crowd thought. I actually kind of want to watch it back and see if people are like rolling their eyes at him or smiling and kind of going, hey, this guy can loosen up.
Yeah, just as a diehard Tupac fan, that was just kind of cringy for me. So
I get it from that perspective.
I want to add that to the list of the things Cody should never do, which includes baby gender reveals and promos about racism. So he's got a deep three there.
You know, if I stand corrected and that's what turns the crowd against him, so be it. I gotta go with the public on that. I was okay with it, but then I don't have as much invested in Tupac as you do, so.
Yes. But going to the second half of it, he did kind of step up and go on offense, and he alluded to something that we talked about a few weeks ago on the show where he mentioned that Roman could not get over for the first until year 8, which we discussed, and we said, are they going to save that for close to the main event? And that's exactly what they did. And it showed that, you know, hey, I'm kind of your equal. It's that the statement that it kind of gave to me. And I thought he did a good job in that and stood toe-to-toe with him and said, I'm not scared of you. I can say things, too. He did have to say he was shooting, which I'm, you know, not a great fan of when they guys say that stuff, but use a little insider lingo, but okay. But outside of that, I thought it was very effective.
And one thing about the comment about shooting, it was, yes, I mean, it qualifies. But it didn't break from the storyline. It was a good babyface rebuttal. In fact, John from New York City has taken a victory lap. He emailed a couple weeks back and said Cody should do that. So I'll read that email and give him his due also, Darren. The idea that he's shooting, but he's shooting about something that was on television. That's the thing. Like, and I talk to Eric Kroll about this sometimes, where, you know, I don't know if nuance is the right word, but not like if I'm for video packages, it doesn't mean I'm for all video packages all the time, no matter what. Like, you know, I think I make my case. I think I'm specific about things. And I think this is an opportunity to do it, too, because if you're going to shoot on someone, and what you really mean is I'm going to get personal and bring up something that's going to embarrass you and maybe humble you or in front of the fans. But it's something that happened on television, which, by the way, Roman getting booed for 10 minutes on the Raw after Mania happened. Roman getting rejected while being pushed hard by Vince McMahon happened, and people saw it. So it's not a shoot in the way that some wrestlers try to, quote, get themselves over with the internet or social media crowd. It works for me because it's like, yeah, we're shooting because I'm talking about something the fans, even casual fans know happened. You were kind of promoted heavily, and the crowd rejected you. You tried to be popular, and people didn't like you. That's an arsenal that I think a babyface should be able to use. Does he have to say we're shooting? No. I mean, that feels a little pandery, but it didn't bother me because he wasn't, quote, shooting on something that only the, like, hardcore, you know, sub-segment of a sub-segment of fans know about.
Sure. Another aspect of that is with the face-to-face. I was hoping that they did not touch and get into a big brawl because I think that would have diminished the build-up, and they managed to do that. They didn't. They managed to have a good confrontation, didn't give away too much, and it leaves the fans anticipating the main event. They have never touched throughout this whole build-up, and I think they're doing a phenomenal job with that.
I do, too. I mean, I love the stare-down. It has the vibe of a big-time WrestleMania main event. And, you know, we knew Roman would do it, and he has. You know, I mean, just because we knew he could do it doesn't mean you don't give him credit when he does it. If a great NHL player gets a hat trick, you still are like, great job, you're great. And Roman has the whole act down. And, you know, and Heyman is playing off of him great. You know, Cody was a question mark, especially coming in and kind of having to follow up the Sami Zayn storyline. And I think he's played his part well, you know. And we'll see. I mean, by the way, I thought it was brilliant that Roman said, you know, was about to do Los Angeles acknowledge me. And he's like, I don't care about you guys. Because that takes away a babyface pop that Roman gets in every city that he does it in 2 days before. He really does want Cody to be cheered, and he really wants to be booed. Like, it felt like this, like, hidden secret or lost art of being a heel for, like, 15 years in this industry, that the goal of a heel is not to get cheered. And the goal of a babyface is to not get any reaction as long as there's a reaction. The goal is for the heel to be booed and the babyface to be cheered. When you're on a wrestling show where the vast majority of things that they do are meant to steer fans in that direction, you don't undercut it, whether it's the announcers not underlining what the heels are doing to try to get heat or you know, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things that were done that kind of undercut that setup of how wrestling promoters sort of instinctually promoted their product. And there's exceptions and successful exceptions. In different parts of the world, in different eras. But in this case, Roman is like, I don't want to get cheered. I don't want to get that pop. And then I didn't even, like, think about the pivot to, I don't care about them, because Cody, it's your turn. Acknowledge me. I didn't get chills, but, like, that was a moment where, like, Roman takes this catchphrase and then turns it into something different, which is just perfect. And then Cody's just staring right back at him, leaning in the corner, walks up and gets in his face. I thought the visuals were great. I thought if you didn't understand English or the mute button was on and you're watching at a bar or something, you would still be like, oh, those are two big stars and they're having a big fight soon.
Right. Yeah. Roman's at the top of his game and is just hitting all the little nuances, all the lines, right? And it just said there were question marks. I knew Cody could rise to the occasion, but he proved that he could, and he absolutely stood toe-to-toe. You mentioned announcers undercutting things. And at the very beginning of the promo, Michael Cole's like, Cody didn't make it in Hollywood. I was like,
that was a little weird. That was a little weird. It's like this true story that works well in the sense that it's like his life's gone full circle. But at the same time, it was like, yeah, I left with his tail tucked between his legs. Wait a second. You know, like, there's another way to phrase that, which is, you know, he was young and not quite ready, or his heart was in wrestling.
Yes.
And, you know, you can spin the truth a little bit, Michael, and say, you know, Cody went to Hollywood wanting to be a Hollywood star, and he found out how tough it is to make it there, and he also found out where his heart really was. It was in following in his dad's footsteps. Like, there was a better story to tell there. And, yeah, I mean, I won't be too hard on Michael Cole because I don't know who came up with that line. But, yeah, he left with his tail tucked between his legs. That was a little like Roman back in the day going, well, I tried the NFL, and then I hated the CFL because, oh, my God, the cities were, you know, not major league, and the travel was Bush League, and I couldn't handle that. So then I tried building furniture, and finally I decided to do what my family has always done and what I'm a natural at. Be a wrestler. Like, no, you're a babyface. This should be your dream, even if it's not. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that with Cody. But you know what? 18, 19-year-olds, you know, get to live down their mistakes. You know, I mean, if the idea is he was, you know, an immature kid trying to do something else, or not immature, but, you know, not ready for it, and look at him now. I mean, it works, but it was a little – I had sort of the reaction. I think you did. Like, whoa, tail between the legs.
I suppose it just also made me think maybe they're planting a seed for something. Maybe Cody isn't going to win, and people are like, well, you know, this is his second choice anyway, so fans don't get too mad.
Yeah. I mean, oh God, you would hate that they're already like hedging on not wanting people to be disappointed. It's like, you know, when there's a big match schedule in a Raw or SmackDown, but they don't really hype it because it's only going to go 20 seconds and there's going to be a, you know, an attack. So we don't want to get you excited about something that's not going to happen. I hope that's not it. I hope it's just like a lapse in judgment.
That's what I hope it is too.
Yeah. But, you know, it could be, it could, I mean, strategically, are they planting a seed for Cody to be a heel? I mean, some people have said, is it going to be a double turn on Sunday? You know, Tame going to switch sides and go with Cody, and then Cody's going to be head of the bloodline with you know, like the Usos or who knows who. I don't know. You know, I mean, I thought during the KO Sammy thing, like, what if Kevin Owens turns on Sammy and he replaces Roman? Like, I just, none of these things are going to happen, but it is kind of fun to like imagine all these alternate scenarios. But eventually I do think Cody will be a heel, and eventually Roman's going to be a babyface, and I don't know what shape that's going to take and what the timeline is, but it's going to be good, and I think Cody's showing he can be good in this situation.
Definitely. Well, if they are going to turn Cody, they've done a fantastic job of planting a very subtle seed.
Yes, you heard it here first, folks. Okay, our phone lines are filling up here on WrestleMania Eve, so let's pause, let's introduce ourselves quickly, and then we'll get on with bringing callers onto the show. This is the Wade Keller. Oh, you stepped right on me there, Darren. Now I got to start over. The whole show. No, I'm kidding. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, March 31st, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, the host of the program, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and the host of various podcasts, including this, the post shows, and also the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, more traditional podcast. We had a doubleheader this week in new content. Tuesday, Rich Van joined me on the flagship, and we talked about CM Punk and Jon Moxley and that dust-up that occurred over the past week. We have had unmatched coverage, I'm told. From our VIP members who have heard three Wade Keller hotlines, my conversation with Rich, also the fix with Todd Martin, Mike and Andrew from the All Elite After Show were talking about it, the VIP East Coast cast, Travis and Rich and company, they were talking about it. I had a lot of details walking step by step through what happened in the lead up to All Out last year, and the different perspectives, and I think I was fair in presenting kind of everybody's side and perspective on what went down. So all that's available for our VIP members. So check that out. You can hear the free show with Rich and me from Tuesday. And then Wednesday was a 90-minute WrestleMania preview. Rich joined me again for our pay-per-view preview episode of the Wade Keller Podcast. And we just spent an hour and a half talking about WrestleMania. A lot about Cody and Roman, but gave a good amount of time to all the other matches too. That's on our Blue Logo Show. Search Wade Keller in your podcast app and subscribe. It's free. Or upgrade to a VIP membership. You can do that right on your iPhone using your Apple account too. If you search PW Torch in Apple Podcasts and then sign up through your Apple account on the PW Torch app. You have to search PW Torch on your iPhone on the Apple Podcast app, and you'll see a dark a basically a black and white logo show up with PW Torch VIP on it. Just click on that and upgrade to a VIP membership right on your iPhone. You can also sign up through other methods, Patreon, PayPal, credit card, get our main website, get 35 years of archives, pwtorch.com/govip. I'll be hosting two different WrestleMania roundtables this weekend just for VIP members, Saturday night and Sunday night. We'll have them up about an hour and a half after WrestleMania ends, depending on how long the podcast goes. They won't be live, but they will be on our PW Torch VIP podcast feed. We've been doing post-pay-per-view roundtables now for 20 years, and almost all of them are in our archives. So if you go VIP, we have a WrestleMania special section marching through not only all our same-night coverage of WrestleMania, but going back in time and reviewing the early WrestleManias with roundtable discussions too. So great benefits with VIP membership. Now's a great time to go VIP, catch up on the CM Punk Moxley coverage, and then be on board for WrestleMania and all the WrestleMania weekend happenings too. The other voice you heard on the show so far is Darren Lilly. He is a PWTorch.com Impact reporter. He covers the weekly TV show. He also hosts the PWT Impact podcast, a VIP exclusive show. Darren, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. And speaking of unmatched coverage, you can not only catch my Impact, my recap of Impact Wrestling TV from last night, but Multiverse United as well. That is up on the site. This was on top of 5 hours of live AEW on Wednesday, and now I'm headed into untold hours of WWE this weekend. So that's a lot of wrestling I'm watching here in a row.
I was texting my mom about the blizzard coming. She somehow hadn't heard it was happening and wanted to know if I knew. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. And she goes, well, we must be happy because now you're not going to be missing out on outdoor activities. We got like 11 inches of snow and a blizzard coming on April 1st and 2nd. So, yeah, I'm going to be snowed in. It's perfect for me because I'm like, I can't
right.
I can't do anything anyways. So I'm stuck. Flights aren't coming into Minneapolis-St. Paul here. So it works for me, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's so much happening. However, we got a bunch of people on hold, so I want to not leave them on hold too long here. But I do want to give out the phone numbers and invite everyone to give us a call if you haven't yet. 347-215-8558 is the number, 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. You're invited to send in comments and questions all the time, and we can get to them on our flagship show if we don't get them in time for our post shows, and you can ask about anything, not just Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, which are the topics of our Red Logo shows, the Wade Keller post shows. Okay. Oh, and if you want to find a lot, if you download our show and go, how do I listen live? Just go to WadeKellerPostShow.com, WadeKellerPostShow.com. Click on the link to the live stream. You can also go to our Twitter page at PWTorch, and I link to the direct live stream every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night. We go live about 5 minutes after the show. And the best way is to go to PWTorch.com, click on my report on Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown. I cover the show live for 2 hours or 3 hours on Mondays and cover what happened and give my take on what's happening every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then at the top and bottom of those reports, there's a direct link to the live stream along with our call-in phone number and the email. So many ways to join us live, and we invite you to do so if it works out for your schedule. And it has with a bunch of people who are on hold. So let's get rolling on calls. We have a VIP priority caller scheduled first, Scott from Tampa, Florida. Scott, good to hear from you. Thank you for your VIP membership. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight? Oh, we can barely hear you, Scott.
Oh.
Now we can. There you are.
Can
you
hear
me? For us?
Yes.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
AirPod. Not cooperating with me tonight, but talking to you, and Wade and Darren. Nice talking to you as well. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Oh, sweet. Wade, I think you were wrong. It wasn't SmackDown tonight. It was WrestleMania SmackDown. Didn't you hear? WrestleMania SmackDown.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the show was good. You know, it was a good go-home show to Mania weekend. I'm excited about this weekend. I wasn't really sure about what to call about tonight because nothing too exciting and crazy happened. But speaking of the Roman Reigns and Cody segment, the last like few seconds in the showdown, like the stare down between them, kind of got my mind thinking a little bit about what's to come. you know, you notice that, you know, normally Roman Reigns' entrance, when he gets into the ring or when he comes out in entrance, he holds up the Universal title, and why he keeps the WWE Championship around his waist. And then when he gets in the ring, he usually holds up both. And he didn't do that before, but, you know, I thought that after as the show was closing and, you know, he started to show off the belt in front of and raise it above his head to show it in front of Cody, I thought he would have grabbed the Universal title as well, but he just held up the WWE title. And, I'm one of those, yeah, you know what, I'm on the side of the camp where I don't like two champions. I just like one single, you know, champion. So I don't want them to split the belts again. But that got me thinking of two different things. Are they planning to split it? And Roman just puts the WWE title on the line, or is it, maybe after this Sunday, Cody wins, and it's just one single belt to represent the Universal Champion, Undisputed Champion, whatever they want to call it. And you know, I don't know if you also noticed that Roman, he started mouthing something to Cody, and he was holding, like he was pointing at the title, like this one, like you want this one, right? This, and so I don't know if I'm looking into it too much, but what do you guys think about either of those two options, either? You know, I think it would be dumb to just, you know, he puts up just the WWE title, but the thought of, you know, it doesn't give a sign away that maybe, you know, it's sure Cody is winning. That's what was my thought out of it. I mean, I've thought all along that Cody's winning, but, like, that last segment and the whole promo, everything, it just felt that way. The whole show tonight just felt like this was the end. This was the last SmackDown as Roman being champion.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think about all that?
I have tried not to commit my brain to assuming that anybody knows what's going to happen on Sunday night. I think the easy answer is, you know, of course, Cody's going to win. Everybody knows it. And when it happens, everybody can say we knew it all along. I'm not there. I'm not in that spot. I think that's most likely. I do, but I'm not going to go bet a lot of money on it. I think there's lots of stories that they can tell. I like to keep my mind open to those possibilities. And I mean, this is like the worst thing they could do, but it's the type of thing that wrestling has done in the past. I think that would be smart enough not to do it, but you could have like a back suplex by Cody where Roman's shoulders are down and Cody's shoulders are down, but there was chaos leading up to it. And so one ref went down and another ref came out. And the Raw ref counts Reigns' shoulders down, but the groggy SmackDown ref counts Cody's shoulders down, and they each pick up a separate belt, and they hand Cody the Raw title, the WWE title, then they hand Roman the Universal SmackDown base title, and there's controversy. I mean, so I don't think we're going to do it, and
man.
I think there'd be a giant eye roll in a lot of places, but I throw it out there because it's like, who knows? I mean, there could be a double turn. I think Roman could retain, and they could tell a completely different story with Cody. Maybe this is the other thing. Everyone knows Cody's gonna you know, win, right? Or I shouldn't say everybody knows that because that's not true. About in our poll, like a fourth of people think Cody's gonna win. But maybe Cody's got an injury that we don't know about, and he's got to kind of work carefully through the match, and then he needs to take a couple months off, so they have to rearrange things. Like there's so many variations, and I've been surprised too many times. I didn't think Brock was gonna beat Undertaker, so who knows? But I do like you. Being very observant and extrapolating, some details and some observations from what happened. Darren, what do you think of what Scott observed and brought up?
I did not catch where they held up the one belt, so good catch there, Scott. But I think they'll keep the belts together because it's working so well right now, putting a main focus on one big champion. I don't see why you just switch the formula up now. It's working so well. And I don't think that they would just out of nowhere, although that was a very compelling scenario we put together. But it's working so well. They wouldn't
don't
do
blame
it out
me
nowhere.
For it, by the way. It's not like you're sitting around listening. God, going, that's dude. What we're going to do. That gets us out of this mess.
You never know.
I don't know if Triple H is listening, but we know Tony does listen and sometimes implement. But no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Darren.
Well, the key to good wrestling storytelling sometimes is where you don't know which other wrestlers is going to win, and that's what you have in this scenario. As much as I think it's going to be Cody, it could very well be Roman, and it would make absolute sense to continue that storyline to SummerSlam. So we don't know who's going to win, and I think that's a good thing. So I'm just looking forward to the match and seeing how it plays itself out.
Yeah, I'm for them keeping the belts together. You know, I like the idea of Cody just being on both shows. I think it's gone on long enough, and I actually think Roman has been so successful as the singular champion that it's elevated the notion of a single champion ruling over both, and I think the U.S. and IC title have been elevated by virtue of it. And you also, I just think Cody becoming the champion of both brands gives Cody a rub of being in the same position that Roman's been in for all this time. And if you split the belts up, all of a sudden Cody's half the champion that Roman was and someone else is half the champion that Roman was. Plus, they're not doing many house shows anymore. And one of the big arguments for having separate belts, and heck, even doing the brand split in the first place, was, well, we want a world championship match to headline each house show. And that's not really what draws in WWE anymore. You know, well, first of all, they're not doing enough house shows where they're running two per night and need to worry about that. But even if they were, I mean, it's more of an attraction brand-based draw, and there's plenty of stars they can end a show with, even if it's not a, quote, world title match. So for all kinds of reasons, yeah, keep the belts together. But mostly it's just to give Cody the rub that he deserves by beating the Unified Champion and winning both belts.
That was a very faint, you know, kind of a thought and process. Like, you know, are they going to really do that? But, no, yeah, I'm with you guys 100%. You have to keep the titles together, just have one belt. You know, if they want to just have one belt, then that's fine. And I'm even more in favor of that. And just to signify just having one world champion, I'm fine with that. But another thing I wanted to bring up was the LWO forming tonight. Is that something that's supposed to be short term, or you think it's actually a long term thing? I mean, I'm a younger fan, quote unquote young. I mean, I'm 31, but you know, I wasn't watching WCW in the late 90s, so I know about the LWO, and it was kind of to my knowledge, it was like a supposed to be a spoof, right, with Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio and his crew, late 90s or so. I mean, it's I don't know. I'm like, I think a lot of the things from the 90s should just be left alone now. I mean, I don't want to see any recast of a stable, but, I mean, are you guys feeling optimistic at all about, you know, this potential group? It looks like it may have a few with Judgment Day coming out of WrestleMania. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, if it's a short-term one-off, short-term or a one-off, I'm fine. That's kind of the feeling I get. I don't think it's going to be a thing. But if – and it wouldn't really be consistent, I don't think, with how Legado del Fantasma had been coming to raise aid. But if Dominic were to split off from the Judgment Day and hang out with – be part of Legado del Fantasma and actually be the LWO – well, Judgment Day kind of go a different direction with, the main three originals. That could work, but they should do it because they think LWO is a good idea for today, not because they think there's a lot left of – that there's a lot of equity in the nostalgia of it. I don't have real strong feelings about going with it or not going with it, as long as they don't think that it's like this – huge thing, because you say, Scott, let's leave the 90s alone. But if it's a good thing to do in 2023, regardless of it being a 90s gimmick, and they have a good plan, I mean, I'm open-minded to it. How about you, Darren?
Yeah, I just immediately got the impression that it's not going to be something that's long-term. Had that feeling. First of all, Legado del Fantasma is much more effective as heels, and I think eventually they'll end up on that side of it. So I don't think this is very long, maybe just something to sell some t-shirts or something, or maybe to do that feud with Judgment Day or something. But yeah, I don't think it's long-term at all.
Scott, anything else for us?
I'll just leave you guys because I know you guys got a bunch of callers. So I'll just leave you one topic. There's one thing I tuned into the PW Talk YouTube show on Thursday with Zach and Tyler. And I think it was Tyler who mentioned, this main event between Roman and Cody, it's probably the first WrestleMania main event in a while, maybe even decades, of the majority of the fan base really looking forward to it. Normally you have you're used to looking forward to a bunch of other matches on the card, but there's usually a lot of apathy towards either side for the main event. And he brought up a great point. And I think since, for me, I would say Cena and Rock in 2012, that was probably, you know, what the most fan base really looking forward to. But even had the CM Punk fans who were upset that he wasn't in the main event. So what do you guys thoughts of that? Is it, you know, just being one of the biggest main events of WrestleMania history and, like, one of the last time that you can really recall majority of the fan base really looking forward to the main event on Sunday. And thanks for taking my call, guys, and you guys have a great weekend.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, people are looking forward to this match. I think it would strongly win a poll for what match you're most looking forward to. Although, Rey and Dominic, I think, is up there in terms of people's – I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, how good is the match going to be? And it's kind of gimmicky, a father and a son, but the build's been so good. And Michael Cole, you know, we gave him a hard time about the line that, you know, may or may not have been his earlier that he came up with. But he's been really good, you know, so emphatic in his excitement to see Rey finally get his hands on Dominic. And we're all kind of living vicariously through him, through his disgust with Dominic. So that's up there. I will say if the thought is everybody's looking forward to Roman and Cody, or, you know, a higher percentage than any WrestleMania in recent memory, what a success story for WWE, Roman, the Bloodline, Heyman, and Cody, given that everybody's – so many people were so excited about Cody – so excited about Sammy, and, you know, there was some sentiment that Cody was taking his spot. And I think they have dodged that from being an issue going into this match, or certainly reduced it almost to a non-factor. Darren, how about you? Is this – I mean, because, yeah, people aren't sitting around going, oh, it should be Daniel Bryan or a little bit of Sammy, but not to the degree because Cody's been good. And we don't have people just resenting Roman as a babyface or resenting John Cena as a babyface. The stars are aligned, and it's fun when that happens.
Yeah, that aspect, which we had kind of feared maybe a few months ago, it never materialized. So that's to their credit. I think one of the reasons this is – main event is so anticipated is because it's a fresh matchup. Prior years, we got a lot of Brock against Roman, and people had seen it before, and nobody was really enthused about, ooh, I can't wait to see Brock against Roman again. So you really didn't get that kind of feedback from the fans, but it's something that's fresh. Cody's a fresh character and people are really behind him. So yeah, that's probably one of the main reasons people are looking forward to it.
What is the cheer to boo ratio for Cody on Sunday?
I will say 80% cheers.
I think it might be higher than that. I'm not ruling it out, and who, you know, how are we ever going to tell percentage wise to that degree, but yeah,
I think he built up a lot of goodwill from the AEW days, and this run has been very good. So, and it's an insider crowd that travels to WrestleMania. So, yeah, I think it'll be very positive. I'll stick with 80.
yeah. I think they've pulled this off. They've pulled this off well. All right, I believe we've got our VIP party caller, Matt, ready to go. Matt, push one if you want us to get to you. And if not, we can take another call. Because I see your number, but I don't see that you pushed one yet. Oh, maybe we'll just – oh, there he is. Yep, so he's ready to go. All right, cool. So VIP member Matt is giving us a call here from Delaware. Matt, good to talk to you. Welcome to the show.
Good to talk to you guys, too. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good. Excited about the weekend. Excited to see the ROH pay-per-view that I'm missing right now.
What about the Hall of Fame thing? I'm missing that right now. But,
yeah, I'll put it on while I'm getting some other work done. Yeah, I like that it's scaled back this year and doesn't seem real daunting.
Yeah, Mick Foley is inducting Stacy Keibler right now, I think. But
of course.
Anyway, as far as the SmackDown tonight, I thought it was like pretty good for the stuff that they tried to show us to give us something to look forward to for the matches to come this weekend. The ones they had time to do that with tonight, I thought that they did some good things, you know. And I felt like the Battle Royal was one of the Yeah, that's what a go-home show is supposed to be. And I felt like they, you know, did about as good as they could do with the 2 hours they had. You know, the video packages were what they were, but even the four-way women's match was, you know, better than most of the women's matches we've been seeing on SmackDown, and that bodes well for what we're going to see tomorrow or Sunday with that match. And also the men's four-way match, you know, there was a lot of different spots in that, so it was interesting. It's interesting to see what they're going to do with all the tag teams in there.
Yeah, we haven't talked broadly about the show. Darren,
go ahead.
Pause for a second, because I want to touch on that. Did you think that the WrestleMania Showcase teaser with the women, they kept it short, but, you know, got across, hey, these are the competitors who are going to be in that situation. And then, you know, they've done the same thing with the men. And then they did a kind of a mix and match setting up the battle for the IC title with Sheamus and Drew having the team together. The matches that they featured were relevant to WrestleMania and didn't overstay their welcome. And then the one that wasn't, you know, per se relevant to WrestleMania was the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which sometimes has been on the pre-show. And I thought it was a good Battle Royal. So, we're talking about Roman Cody appropriately so. And we haven't even gotten into KO and Sami yet in their promo with the Usos. But the matches that were relevant to Mania, and I thought what they wrapped around all those matches did a good job just underlining, emphasizing, amplifying the key reasons you should be emotionally invested in what's happening the next two nights. So I guess Matt kind of gave us an opening there to cover that. What did you think of the show in that regard?
Yeah, it wasn't obviously the most newsworthy or action-packed show, but it wasn't supposed to be. It was essentially a pregame show, and it did what it was supposed to do. It got you excited about the show coming up. You had a little bit of star power at the beginning of the show and at the end, but they didn't overdo it, just teased a little bit for both of them. No physical confrontations or anything. Gave you just enough to be excited and still look forward to them actually wrestling over the weekend. And the other big stars who weren't there, they showed very nice video packages of a nice package of Cody, who was there. The Charlotte Rhea one was really good. But yeah, they just stressed how important those matches are. Nothing overstayed its welcome. So I thought it was an effective show. Again, not the most exciting or newsworthy show, but it served its purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't need major last second hotshot angles to get me into a show. I think that would have been, worthy of criticism if they saved something to the last second instead of letting something kind of build over time. Matt, back to you. Sorry for jumping in there.
I was going to say, I thought I agree with everything you guys were saying. The matches they chose to show us were ones that made you a little bit more interested in the matches they tie into over the weekend. Now, in the beginning segment, it seemed to me that the Usos were trying to convey the message that, you know, as brothers, they're united and nobody can take down anybody who's united, especially KO and Sammy when they've turned on each other a million times. But they kept showing Jay sort of, not facing everybody. They were really zeroing in on that. And eventually he made his comeback and everything. But the way I see that match unfolding is Jay's not going to refuse to fight or anything like that. But I think at some point during that match, there's going to be some sort of hesitation that throws them off, and they're not actually on the same page the way brothers are supposed to be. And that's what's going to lead to them losing. But if they lose, which is what a lot of people are predicting and what a lot of people want, I think, I don't see Roman losing his title to Cody. I don't see the bloodline losing everything it has right now. I think that, you know, Roman could get himself further to the attraction status that Brock Lesnar is and people like that, where you can just bring him back and fight people, and it's a big deal just for fighting him if you get him past 1,000 days and into the summer. And Cody loses this match and realizes that his story needed more adversity. His story's not about coming back injured at number 30 in the Royal Rumble and only beating six men. And he's he's going to end up having to fight a harder road to get back to his rematch with Roman, possibly at SummerSlam. And maybe the fact that Roman didn't reach back for that Universal title, like the previous caller said, and he only held up the WWE title and only showed that one to Cody, maybe that does mean something down the road. I don't know. I didn't even think of that. But I don't think that they should have some match for just that title. But I think that's significant to show that the WWE title was the one that Cody was always after. Obviously, he wants to win the match and win both. But I'm in the camp, maybe the minority, that I think Roman is going to retain. I think he should, for the reasons I was saying. But
interesting.
What do you think? What do you think about that? And what do you think? Because think about this: if Roman holds the title for 1,000 and however many days it is until the SummerSlam pay-per-view, then every time they bring him back, they can say Roman Reigns, former champion for over 1,000 days, and that just makes him a bigger attraction for him. And they're not going to have this opportunity for a long time to have that dominant of a champion and that type of attraction to, you know, add to their list of attractions.
Well, I'll say this and I'll throw it to Derek. I don't think they should make a decision that they otherwise wouldn't make as far as their booking plans for Cody and Roman based only on the 1,000-day number. That said, it has some value. And it should be part of the consideration, but not, you know, not a deciding factor. If they're kind of torn, I mean, yeah, that's a nice, you know, something a little bit more than a bonus to be able to say that Roman achieved that, and it puts him in rare company. And I have been advocating for 25 years for long title reigns. I grew up, you know, fascinated with long world title reigns from the dominant champions when they would hold the title for years. And then we went through a stretch where, you know, that was cashed in on by bookers, the equity of world title changes to the point of real diminished returns. And Roman has changed that, and the Usos are changing that too. WWE booking is changing that, and I like that. And I'm been a fan of AEW not doing hot shot rapid fire world title changes also, even if they have too many championships. So that's there. But going kind of taking a step back to, you know, either path they take, they both are great. Like, if Cody wins, there's a great story they can tell with him, and a great story they tell with a bloodline and what happens in the bloodline. They've absolutely set that up well. You know, what are the ramifications if Roman loses the title and if the Usos lose their title? And people are going to tune in to see that. They're going to see the disintegration or the regrouping of the bloodline and its ramifications. And then they're going to want to see Cody and how he does as the dual champ, the unified champ. But if Cody comes up short, you know, you've laid out the scenario. Roman gets to be a 1,000-day champ. Any match against him still means so much because now it's practically Brock Lesnar's streak, but you get to do it multiple times per year. And then Cody gets to face some adversity, which might ultimately make him a stronger babyface since, you know, he has done well up to this point. I don't think people would see it as a vote of no confidence. Maybe some would, but I think people would see it as that they're telling a different story. Darren, your thoughts?
Matt brought up a compelling scenario for Roman keeping the title. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. They certainly could do it. I don't think they would do it based on the 1,000-day thing because I've heard a few people mention that before, and I think that would be something nice to say, but I don't think they'll make any major decisions based around that. I mean, if he becomes an attraction, as you say, like Lesnar coming in and out, they could just say it anyway and just make it up a year two from now, nobody will care, double check anyway, so they could just say it anyway, or say he was near 1,000. So I don't think that's a deal breaker on making a major decision. I don't think it will be based on that, even if they do decide to go with Roman.
Okay, cool. Anything else, Matt?
Yeah, just because the 1,000-day thing was the last thing I said doesn't think I mean it's the most important factor. I just think that the whole bloodline story, you know, the Usos are going to lose. I don't think Roman's going to lose because I think he's going to retain, and then there's going to be more dissension within the bloodline because the Usos lost those. The coming in at number 30 at the Royal Rumble and all that stuff, I just think there's more meat on the bone for the bloodline story with Roman as the champion and more meat on the bone for the Cody story chasing the title as babyface. Because, I mean, let's face it, more often than not, baby faces tell a better story while they're chasing than when they're a champion, right? And so they can get a lot more out of this. So I just don't feel like it's the time to pull the trigger. And, you know, all that being said, it's fine if they do. You know, I'm totally cool with it either way. You know, I think Cody is the guy. I just don't think it's the time. So, you know, that's what I'll say about that. But there's a lot of different reasons for it. Now, what I was going to say also, just quickly, and I'll get offline in case there's other callers and things like that. We've been seeing Big E a lot in these Snickers commercials. Would they be putting him in Snickers commercials on, you know, this often if he's not going to be making a return sometime soon?
Yes, you know, I think they would. I think they're just getting, you know. Yeah, I don't think we should read too much of that. I hope it's a sign he's coming back. But yeah, Big E's got a ton of equity with fans, and he's, you know, good to do a commercial like that. So he's a good guy to do a commercial like that. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I hope it is a good sign, as you say. But yeah, he's a well established character who has a lot of fans and goodwill, so I could see why they would certainly put him in there and, I mean, and keep him busy, and maybe even, you know, just to say, hey, you're, let him know he's still part of the team, something like that.
Yeah. All right, cool. Matt, appreciate it. We'll get to other calls, but good to hear from you. Call again.
All right, and the last thing I just want to say is the Battle Royal the only thing Lashley's going to get this year? And that's it. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Matt.
And, everybody go VIP because it's worth it, and have a good WrestleMania weekend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the endorsement. So Bobby Lashley winning the Battle Royal. I think that's all he's getting, but, I mean, can't rule out. He'll be involved in some other way at Mania weekend. You know, the Bray Wyatt situation, you know, sort of mysterious, but certainly they're not even addressing it, you know, why he's not there. It doesn't sound like they think – well, whatever. They don't want to draw, I don't want to draw conclusions. Seems like they don't want to draw attention to it, and they're not. But Lashley winning the Battle Royal, what do you think of the decision to go with him as a winner rather than maybe Bronson Reed, who could have gotten more of a rub from it? Is that just a consolation prize, or, you know, maybe making sure that Bobby gets a little bit of shine, even if he's not in a major match?
Once he was actually entered into it, he had to win because you can't just take him off the WrestleMania card. And then he also loses the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That's just in a terrible message. So he had to win, and I didn't have a problem with it. Bronson Reed would have been a great person to win it, but he looked good, got the shine in there. So it's fine how it worked out. It wouldn't surprise me to see Bobby do something on the Raw after WrestleMania, perhaps. Have some kind of prominent role, maybe this much tease bringing back the Hurt Business or something like that. So maybe not at either WrestleMania show, but maybe the Raw after he gets the spotlight.
All right. Very good. So our number, if you're still listening to our live stream and you want to join, 347-215-8558. Again, that's 347-215-8558. Let's go next to Brad in Florida. Brad, welcome. What's in your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade and Darren. So I just have two quick things that I wanted to bring up. Number one is a very obvious change in Roman's demeanor that I don't think I'm going to chalk up to an acting job. I understand that, like, the idea is that he's losing control and things are kind of falling apart a little bit, whatever, with the bloodline. But I don't think that is it. I'm noticing, like, and please tell me if you see this, almost like a clear, like, a lack of swagger, a lack of that, even when walking to the ring, like, in his step, in his speech, in everything. I really don't think it's acting. It's almost like akin to me, like, to how Liv Morgan, when she entered, in a very different way, but kind of in a similar vein, when Liv Morgan walked into Money in the Bank during her ring entrance, and she was crying, like, a little bit. Like, there was, like, a little bit of tears in her eyes, like, knowing she was about to win. I'm just wondering if you guys are sensing and seeing that, and if you think it's not a part of the act. But he just doesn't seem, I don't know if confident is the right word. There's just something that's like 10 or 15% off about him that it's just not as menacing. It almost feels like he's sad as a person, not as the character Roman Reigns, but as a person, like this is coming to an end potentially. And I want to know if you guys are seeing that. He's more demure. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's one of the things that I really wanted to ask you guys about.
I don't think so. I think everybody in the Bloodline's happy. Roman's bragging about his paychecks. Jay's getting complimented for his acting. I think Jay's been great. I thought when Sammy and KO have been opposite of the Usos and firing at them, Jay's had this like, both Jay and Jimmy have been like, oh yeah, you know, pushing back hard. But Jay always feels like he's right on the verge of feeling torn up inside and conflicted over the choice he made. And when they said, you know, you made a choice, you chose blood over true friendship, and you're treated like crap by him. I mean, they continue to send signals to us that, you know, Roman's a miserable person in certain ways. I think they want you to think that he's kind of, you know, it's lonely at the top. It's lonely feeling that people only want to be around you because of your power, and that you're scared that if you lose that stature of being the world champion, that the people around you will fall apart, or you know, no longer be there for you. And then you got Jay, who is I think genuinely torn up. I really do think he is doing what he thinks he has to do because of the blood, the family connection, but is definitely not 100% on board with that choice. Darren, how about you?
I did not notice that what Brad spoke of. Perhaps maybe it's Roman too, that he's a little bit worried about Cody, so he seems a little bit moody or frowning. Maybe Cody's words got to him a few weeks ago where he talked about everyone leaving him, so now he's kind of in that mood, and maybe that's where you pick it up. And of course, the potential split of the Bloodline or Jay turning against him, maybe not as loyal. So maybe that's, and he's very subtly doing that on his way to the ring or back in the locker room scenes. So perhaps it's just that.
Yeah. Brad, do you want to make your case more or move on to something else?
No, I'm really seeing it. I just see a lack of confidence, a different swagger, a different pep in his step. When he was walking to the ring tonight, even just not as menacing, like just not as captivating, even like almost like, I don't know, 80% or 70% of what he was. Regardless of that, did you guys think the crowd was good tonight? Because I didn't. I mean, I guess it's
big cavernous. Yeah. The big cavernous arena in LA. It's not going to be, you know, Philadelphia, Chicago. I mean, there's just certain cities, but it didn't jump out to me as. I mean, they weren't chanting what, so they're a good crowd just based on that.
I agree,
Darren. What do you think of the energy they brought?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything to get super excited about tonight with the, you know, battle royal and everything, but they were fine. Energy matched the energy of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked for me. They didn't jump out. You know, they didn't draw attention to themselves, so I was okay. I was okay with it. It worked fine.
Yeah, I mean, there was just certain moments where, like, Sheamus turned to the crowd and, you know, was kind of ready to do the 10 beats of the bow or whatever it's called. And he turned around to face sort of like where the hard camera looks at. And, you know, normally you have like, you know, people stand up and they're pumping their fists. It just seemed very unlively to me. And I hope that my point is like, I hope that's not indicative of what we get Saturday and Sunday. I don't think so. I think they will be very into it in certain spots. But I don't know, maybe it's like the calm before the storm, or maybe it's just indicative of, I mean, we all know, I mean, Los Angeles, and I'm not saying – I know a lot of people flew in for this, but Los Angeles is not known for having good crowds, whether it was the Super Bowl 2 years ago, whether it was, you know, a Dodgers playoff game. Like, they're just not the rowdiest city at all when it comes to big events. I mean, they really aren't. So I don't know. I hope it's a really great crowd. I just seem to be comparing everything in my mind to, like, you know, Clash at the Castle and how incredible that was. And I know you're not going to get something like that again, but maybe Money in the Bank's that good. But I don't know. I just hope it's a really good, lively crowd, because I do feel like the crowd adds so much to it. And it's great to have that. And, you know, my last point is I was going to ask what Matt asked about Lashley not having his WrestleMania moment. I guess it's just not happening, because I really thought this was going to lead to, you know, LA Knight and Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley gets eliminated by LA Knight or vice versa, and that leads to a match. And the other thing that I noticed was LA Knight. Did you guys notice the one point where the crowd was good was when LA Knight was like,
yeah.
Did you guys notice LA Knight, like, how much love there was for him? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be over in Chicago, call yourself Chicago Knight. I don't know, be more original than that. Yeah, LA likes the guy named after their city, and I mean that's kind of fun. I mean, they were not happy when he got eliminated.
No, they were not happy about it at all. But it's just indicative of how popular he is, and I hope that I'm sure after WrestleMania that will kind of start bubbling up where, you know, he'll get more opportunities at bigger things. And I think he's immensely popular. I mean, even when I go to my Twitter feed and there's anything about the WWE, you know, who should win Money in the Bank, and all the pictures of gifts of LA Knight going, yeah, you know, like it's just thousands of them. So I don't know. I just think he's really popular. And that was one point where I did think the crowd was like, it was very interesting, their reaction that they showed. And otherwise, good show tonight, guys. Looking forward to tomorrow, and thank you very much for having me on.
Sure thing. Thanks, Brett. Yeah, it was funny when I think it was Bronson Reed eliminated Knight, Darren, and the crowd's like, boo, they wanted Knight. I think they've got something with LA Knight, and I think they've got something more than they realize they have at this point. And I actually think they should adjust their booking of him in order to move him up a notch in how they treat him. I've always thought he was a special talent in terms of just owning the ring, mic work, just that swagger. And WWE fans are conditioned to look for that, appreciate it, and get behind it. You know, he's not great in the ring. He's not super tall. He's not main eventing WrestleMania anytime soon. But I think he could. I mean, let's put it this way: if LA Knight won the Battle Royal tonight, because, you know, Bronson Reed had a big moment eliminating Lashley, and that was going to be an impetus for them to feud. And instead, LA Knight went on to win. That's something LA Knight can brag about. You know, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner, trophy holder, won the title in LA, the bright lights. Bobby's not going to be any bigger of a star because he got this win. And if Bronson Reed would have been my pick. But, you know, it's not a super serious thing to win the Battle Royal, so that's where LA Knight, I think, it would have been really good for him to win. And maybe the WWE lost out on a moment, a special moment, by not having LA Knight celebrating about an Andre the Giant Battle Royal win in LA. And that would kind of wipe away some of the what felt like a lack of commitment to him and how he's been booked otherwise. Darren, what do you think? Darren, are you muted? Did we lose you? I can't hear you, Darren. Darren, are you there? All right, let's test to make sure I'm still on the air, because sometimes when this happens, it's something else. Let's go to Mike from Atlantic City next. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me? Oh, good. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, not good, because I want to hear Darren, too. But Mike, go ahead. We'll get reconnected with Darren here. What's on your mind about the SmackDown tonight, Mike?
I thought it was I liked the Cody Roman segment. I thought that was good, especially the line that Cody said about how Roman, he said something about like how Roman was around for so long, but then he wasn't over until, what do you say, like after 8 years, something like that? I think that's what he said.
What after
like
3 years?
That.
Sorry.
He said something about
the shoot.
Kind of
the
whole career.
Comment. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I like that job. Did he bring it up at all? Because I know me and you wanted that. Like, I don't think the past few weeks he did. Like, I don't think he brought up about how Roman a lot of times cheated to win, did he?
No, he didn't.
What do you think? No. You think he should have it? I wonder why they didn't go that route.
I think, yeah. I mean, that's less of a, like, shoot brother comment to say, you know, you can be proud of how long you held the title, but how often have you defended it, and how, and have you ever won it without cheating or help? I actually, it's weird to – it's weird – I'm not defending it, but Roman, they want Roman to have heel heat, but they also want him to seem like a really successful world champion. And so
true.
They want you to be mad in the moment, but they don't want to define his reign as being just – a result of cheating and interference and shenanigans. The Roman Reigns brand is intimidating, formidable, class of his generation, badass world champion. And so they kind of want to have their cake and they want to eat it too. They want him to be a heel who gets booed. They want to have, you know, heel heat for when he cheats to win. But at the same time, they don't want that to be the defining trait that babyfaces throw at him. And it has to be deliberate because it's such an obvious thing for a babyface opposing Roman to bring up. And it, you know, Cody's old school enough, you know, watched enough wrestling. There's some people who, you know, become wrestlers and don't study the history. Cody lived the history. So he's got to know that that's a thing that could be brought up,
right.
and he's not bringing it up. But, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't feel strongly about it because with Roman, his gimmick isn't – he's a cheating, you know, it's not like, you know, JBL or something. Like, you want him to be credible. So maybe you don't hang a lantern on that. Maybe you don't draw a ton of attention to it.
Yeah, that is true. And Roman has a lot of, he won a lot of matches fair, you know, to be fair, you know. So, like, he didn't cheat to win all his matches in the past couple of years. You know, some
yeah,
of them been
yeah.
no holds. Some of them,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no, definitely
no
not. He's definitely had some. And that's the thing. I mean, I think it's more likely Cody would point out the matches. And I don't have all the finishes in front of me. But, like, if you know, I think it would be more likely for Cody, because if he's going to beat Roman, he wants to beat somebody who's good. So I could imagine Cody going, I've watched you, without help from your cohorts, defeat this guy, that guy, clean. You'll, like, bring up those situations to build him up. So if you do win, you're beating a guy who has defeated some of these big names in the past, as opposed to diminishing his wins by pointing out the occasions when he had help or there was distractions or cheating. I wonder what the percentage is. I don't even have it handy. How many matches, Roman, you know, you'd give him the credit rather than other stuff going on.
Well, remember when he, because I rewatched that match recently. Remember the match with Cena? He beat him fair then.
Yeah.
Remember SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yep.
And speaking of that, remember the spot where Cena did the AAA from the top of the rope and then Reigns kicked out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Reigns is kicked out of so much. Like he's kicked out of the F5
yeah.
and Kevin Owens stunner. Like on Sunday, for Cody to beat Roman, like, how would you beat him? Like, would you do like a bunch of crossroads? Like, cause obviously one crossroads is not going to do it. Like, we know that's going to be a spot, you know, that'll be a spot.
Yeah.
He'll kick out. Like, how would you beat him? Like, would you have shenanigans, the ref getting knocked out? Do you think they'll go that route? I don't think they will. I want to see a clean match. And,
Cody deserves. Yeah, I would give Cody a clean win. I'm not a big fan of everybody kicks out of everybody's finishers over and over and over again because, oh my God, can you believe this is happening? Because it just has been done too much. And I think that it's played out. So that said, one crossroad should not be Roman Reigns either. You know, I think there's a happy
right.
medium, but if Cody wins, I mean, the thing is if Cody wins and he wins clean, that's going to be a big deal. And that might be the story they want to tell. They might also want to tell a different story. And if it involves, you know, a certain amount of chaos or a major angle or, you know, Jay trying to help Reigns win, but then deciding not to help him win or hesitating just enough that allows Cody to hit the crossroads where it still feels like a clean win because it was Roman's own doing that led him to take his eye off the ball because he was expecting help from Jay or something like that. And I'm just, you know, randomly throwing something out there that, you know, storyline wise could make sense. You know, if we're thinking Jay is a little hesitant to be, completely on Roman's side, or let's say Roman talks, you know, disrespectfully towards Jay, and then Jay just kind of walks away, and that's enough to distract Roman, and then Cody hits a crossroads. Something like that doesn't take away from Cody's win too much because it is Roman as the heel thinking he needs help and not being able to stay focused, and part of a clean win for a babyface is being focused and not being distracted, that's a credit to the babyface. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways they could go with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Cody's going to get speared, and he's going to kick
Darren,
out.
You're back with us. Hold on, Mike.
Yes,
Darren,
I think you're back. Yeah, so, Mike, sorry. Sorry, Stephanie, there. Hey,
Darren.
Darren, go ahead with your thoughts on.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I think they're going to go with the three crossroads finish. That's what I hope they go with anyway, but I have a feeling there's going to be some interference for dramatic purposes with the bloodline coming out, so you can do some twists and turns with the storyline. I think they'll go that route, but I prefer.
Oh, might have lost Darren again.
Still there? Did we lose him again?
Great to do that with Roman.
Oh, there. So, Darren, you'd prefer one over three crossroads? What? Or, I'm sorry, you prefer one over shenanigans?
I prefer the three crossroads over the shenanigans with the bloodline.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Wade, I guess you're right with the false finishes. You don't want to overdo it. I remember last year with Brock and Roman, I don't think that – I know the match was underwhelming to a lot of fans because I don't think they did a lot of those false finishes as far as I remember, because I remember it was just a spear to Lesnar, and that was it. You know, I don't think Lesnar did the F5 and then Reigns kicked out. I think it was just that spear, that one or maybe two spears, and that was it. And maybe some people, you know, like that better. But I was underwhelmed by that match, I remember. I guess, you know, I am spoiled by the whole false finishes stuff. And I think we'll get more of them with Cody and Roman.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go in trusting that they've thought this through. There's a self-awareness of things that were once novel that have been played out or overdone and take account of that. And that whatever they do, here's the thing. I don't think that they're going to do a finish that isn't clean because they're scared that there's politics involved or they're scared for Roman to lose clean to Cody. I don't think that – I think if it's not a clean finish, and maybe I'll end up being wrong. I'm just saying what I think right now. I don't think we should look at that as, oh, they don't want to own the finish. They're giving Cody a half-hearted win with an asterisk, but, you know, because they don't really want to commit to him. I don't think they're going to do that. If Cody wins and it's not just a straight-up one-on-one match, no distractions, interference, whatever, then there's going to be a storyline reason for it. And that storyline is probably going to have a pretty good payoff. And until – they go way off course in this bloodline storyline. I mean, I just think we should, you know, the default mode, not blind faith, but the default mode should be there's probably a reason for what they do and let it play out a little bit before being too hard on it. Now, I will be hard on it Sunday night if I think it's awful, but I think there's a range of finishes that aren't just crossroads for a clean win that can be justified. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many different ways you can go. And that double turn you guys were talking about, I like that idea. I just, you know, I remember Wade a few weeks ago, I brought that up for SummerSlam, and you thought that was probably too soon. But I don't know. I mean, the crowd was chanting Roman tonight, and I could see it happening by SummerSlam. I don't think they'll do it tomorrow night, but I could see them maybe having a rematch, let's say, at SummerSlam, and they do that double turn. And maybe, you know, Cody cheats to win. But, I mean, if that happened on Sunday and, you know, the ref was knocked out and Cody pulled off like what Austin did to The Rock and started beating him up, I mean, you don't want to repeat it too much, make it seem like a copycat thing. But Cody cheated somehow and beat Reigns and became the champion and turned heel, I would be for it. Even if it's like maybe too soon, I would love the swerve. I mean, I think Cody would get, I don't know. What kind of heat do you think he would get off of that? Like, do you think they would cheer him, or like he would get majorly booed if they pulled that off now? Do you think it would be too soon?
What do you think, Kara?
I think he would get booed if he turned and joined up with Paul Heyman. Only problem is you leave a lot of storylines off the table.
Yeah.
That you didn't convert. If you do it right now, not saying you couldn't do it down the line, certainly, because they would open up some new ones, but they set up too much that you would just leave on the table for right now, I think.
Yeah, I do too. All right, Mike, anything else quick? Because I want to get two other calls too here.
I guess that's all. Yeah, enjoy WrestleMania, guys. And,
cool.
Yeah, have a great night.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. All right, let's go to Sean, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, welcome to the show. What do you think of SmackDown tonight?
Wade, first, I did message you, and you did laugh, and you appreciated it. But I got to bring the compliments at the beginning. I don't want to wait till the end because then I'll miss them all, and then I'll forget, and I'll be sad, and then it'll all be sad. But Wade, I wanted to say I appreciate. I mean, not only WrestleMania weekend, because obviously this is going to be a great weekend, you know, but for all you, you know, getting all the stuff with the Punk Moxley stuff and just kind of, you know, giving really good updates, giving thorough updates, really wanting to be, like I've said before on the show, very balanced with your analysis from every side. That's why I love you and Rich Tuesday going at it from every side, each individual's perspective. And it was just really cool to listen to that and take it all in and be like, all right, well, you can make your own judgments or make your own opinions. But you are the best. I mean, Jason, I always say he's the best when I'm on his show, but I do think, Wade, I've heard you longer. So I've talked to you longer, so I got to give you the ultimate, you know, but Jason knows I'm just playing with. But I really do.
I'll share the best.
You and Jason. No, you should. And you and Jason are the two best. And I wanted to say, too, I mean, I'm actually going to get to be on the Boom Live with him Monday again after WrestleMania because Johnny's still doing Johnny Fairplay stuff. He's still out, you know, being a big star. So I'm excited to, you know, watch it and get to talk to him about it and get to have, you know, some of his callers, you know, get to talk about it. I'm excited about it, but I thank you for all you do, Wade. I've been VIP, again, for a reason.
All right.
I mean, just the coverage is great.
Yes.
So I appreciate it.
Good. All right. So I that's all I can take. Go ahead with some.
Darren, how are you?
I don't want to
talk to you, my friend.
I don't want to hear that.
I'm great. How are you?
No, wait.
I think Darren's
glad
well,
you cut
by the
me
way.
Off, cause
he might not be the best, but he's
Darren.
Well.
Darren, I was just getting about to say how great you are, too. I mean, you know, I can't go as long for you as well, but at the same time, I appreciate, you know, like I said, I just want to get that out there because I will go too long and I don't need to go too long, but I do appreciate it. And the SmackDown tonight was great. I mean, you guys kind of talked about it as far as it wasn't like a memorable show like in any way, but it was a great show because it didn't have to be like memorable. Like it was a great show the way they built to the matches as far as Cody Roman and KO Sammy and the Usos, I think it was just great. I thought they did a great job having good segments, like leading you in and getting you, like you said, more excited about the. And I love when Jay brought up the fact, I want to hear what you guys thought about this, but I didn't like Jay going to, they were talking about loyalty and, you know, saying, well, Sammy wasn't loyal. You know, I'm like, well, number one, Jay, he kind of was. I mean, he was with you guys for a reason because he was loyal to you guys and did all kinds of cool things to help you out. But then I like when he went back later on and said, you know, you guys are going to lose, we're going to win, and KO's going to turn on you like he always does. I think it's good to bring that up because KO has done that so many times.
Yeah, totally.
What do you guys think about that altogether? Because I thought that segment, opening segment, was really, really good. I enjoyed all four guys immensely.
I don't think you should always tell the entire truth in a wrestling storyline. I don't think you're obligated to do that. But when you can and it serves the story you're telling, go for it. And, of course, that's what the Usos would say. The Usos would say, we're blood, we're united, we're bloodline, we're family, and you guys wish you were brothers like us because you're Pat. You can talk about your friendship, but you can't trust each other. That's exactly what you would say if you were the Usos, you know, coach trying to get them to get inside the head of Sammy and KO and give off the impression that they shouldn't trust each other and plant seeds of doubt. So, yeah, I mean, of course you should pull from that. Darren, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think it also planted the seed that Owens might turn on Sammy or vice versa. Because at some point in the match, I think that they are going to do a spot where they're going to tease and one of them might turn, and that will play into it. So everybody cheers when they don't do it. So another good reason to bring that up. But yeah, naturally you would try to cause dissension between the two. But yeah, good. It was an effective interview.
Yeah. I liked it. I'm glad they started the show with it, and it made it, you know, building it as the biggest WWE title, tag team title match of all time. I mean, that's, you know, so subjective, but it doesn't sound insane. You know, it just doesn't sound crazy to say that. It feels big. It feels like it could headline night one of WrestleMania. There is this huge backstory, and it is the bloodline, and it is the Red Hot Sami Zayn, and it is Kevin Owens, Sami's partner, who's been a champion before and goes way, way back with Sami. There's just, you know, so much to play in here. And then you have these long-running champs broke New Day's record. They're champs of both brands, so it feels more important. I mean, you can make the case. I don't know what else comes to mind as a bigger, you know, tag team championship match in WWE. And if so, it would be, you know, the biggest match of a completely different era, where you'd be making that argument, right? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm trying to think back to what you could even contend. So they might have a point. Attitude era or the demolition era? I can't think of anything. Or maybe the SummerSlam match, Hogan and Savage against the Mega Bucks, Mega Powers thing, something like that.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's what I mean. You'd have to go back to a different era. I mean, this mm-hmm. does feel, you know, almost objectively the biggest tag team title match in a long time. But, you know, I mean, to each their own. I mean, some people are going to think, you know, the Samoans beating Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas and at MSG or, you know, Boston Guard, wherever it was, you know, is the biggest tag team title match they've seen. So, you know, I mean, like I said, to each their own in that sense. It is a subjective thing. But, yeah, it's huge. All right, Sean, back to you. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to just go off the real quick about the Battle Royal, because I knew Lashley, you know, was going to win, and it was fine. I mean, I'm a Lashley fan. I don't know where they're going with him, like, after WrestleMania, but I'm curious to see it. But I was rooting for Bronson Reed, because I do think they've done a good job with him so far. He got shy in the match. I mean, he was bound to the end, so that was fine. I mean, it was good for what it was. But I'm excited to see what they do with Bronson Reed. But the question – two more quick questions I had. The first was, I mean, Raquel – you know, I had a good showing for the little bit she was in there tonight. But I think ultimately, I still think she can be a really good, a big, not a big star. She's not going to be Becky or anything like that. So I don't think she'll ever get to that point. But I think she can be a really good, a main event woman for WWE, but I think she's got to turn heel. I'm just over the smiling and the excitement. I think she's a real person, but it just, when it's on screen, it just feels fake to me. I think they're going to have to turn her heel sooner rather than later. What do you guys think about Raquel, like the future of her? Because I like her, but I think there's more work to do.
And I think they're taking it slow. I mean, she's not in a main event right now. She's in a WrestleMania showcase match. And by the way, just as a sidebar, that you could construct a pretty good WrestleMania, like a pretty decent WWE house show out of the wrestlers who were in that Battle Royal. And if you add some storyline to it, I was kind of thinking, you know, with whatever Wade Barrett was guessing. I don't know why the color commentator has to guess how many people are entered in a Battle Royal for a prestigious trophy. I was like, I think there's like 31 people in this match. You could do a whole wrestling card with those 31 people, and it'd be kind of fun to put together like the best house show or the best kind of off-month pay-per-view and you know, imagine, okay, if they put storylines behind it, it could work. It's just a total, like, random sidebar I didn't want to forget to bring up. As I was watching, I'm like, there's a lot of depth on the WWE roster when you look at the names in here who I sometimes half forgot were even on the roster. And, you know, the WrestleMania Showcase matches are like that too. You know, these are wrestlers, you know, it's the next level up for the Battle Royal, and that we want you to be on the actual WrestleMania proper card. But, you know, it just worked out that we don't have a major, you know, rivalry or title match for you to be part of. So, yeah, Darren, your thoughts on Raquel. I mean, I she's not ready. They know it, and she's taking her time.
Right. There's no point in rushing her. They got people on top. That's pretty loaded. Rhea, Becky, Charlotte, Bianca, of course. So there's no point in rushing her to the top right now. I think there's something there, though. I do agree with Sean. Maybe her being a smiley baby face comes off a little bit phony, like she's putting on a show, and maybe that's not the natural way to showcase her. I think her best upside is going to be as a heel, kind of a powerhouse heel, and I think that's where she'll shine the best. But you can take your time with it. You've got time to work her to the upper card. So in the meantime, this is fine for what she's doing, kind of a role player, teaming up with Liv Morgan. It's a fine role. Got her on the WrestleMania main show, so you can go slow with her.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Sean, anything else for us?
Yeah, the last thing I was going to bring up was, nobody's brought it up because there wasn't much to it, and it was, I love how Cole brought up when Drew and Sheamus came out and Drew walked past them. They're like, yeah, one of the many, you know, basically like one of the many matches where we're going to put them together. You know, can they coexist? And he's like, we know they're not going to coexist. Sort of laughing. I'm like, yep. There's another Drew and Sheamus. Or can they coexist? Well, yeah, they can for the match itself, but they're not. So my question is, I'm so excited for this match. Like, it's going to be a phenomenal match, even though normally I'm with you, Wade. I can't stand triple threats, but this one's fine for what it's going to be. Who do you think is going to win, and where do you think they go? Does Gunther just retain, or do you think maybe Sheamus finally? Like, where do you think that match is going to go? Do you think Drew turns heel at some point? Where do you think that all is going to go from here on out? And that's pretty much all I have for tonight, Darren. I like hearing and seeing your Impact coverage, man. And, Wade, again, I appreciate all you guys do. And I'm ready for WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be a fun time. So I appreciate you taking my calls over.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Yeah. The thing about WrestleMania is there's a lot of match finishes where, like, I think I know what will probably happen, but I still want to see it happen. You know, I want to see that moment occur because they built up to it so well. I think Gunther retains. I think he looks impressive doing so. I think that match is primarily there to build up his, because, you know, they've gotten a lot out of Sheamus the last dozen years. They've gotten a lot out of Drew McIntyre so far. I think there's more to get out of Drew as a heel, perhaps a heel opponent to Cody at some point, maybe a heel opponent to a babyface Roman down the line. But, you know, they've cooled on Drew as a guy who they think they can lean on as a full-fledged centerpiece top guy. But he's still a top-tier player who's been a bit on the back burner and having bangers. He's having great matches. I think he's going to have a really good match. All three of them are going to on WrestleMania. There's a chance it does steal the show. Finish-wise, though, I think Gunther wins. I think he should win. I think they should protect him. I don't want it to just be he only wins because Sheamus and Drew, you know, sabotage each other. But, that's sort of built into the story going in. I don't think this is where Drew turns because it just feels like a circumstance where that would take away from the main point, which I think should be an impressive WrestleMania moment for Gunther. How about you, Darren?
I think there's a compelling reason for each of them to win. For Drew, if they still have big plans for him, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but he needs a win, needs a big win, and this would certainly be that win on the WrestleMania stage. For Sheamus, this is kind of giving him his flowers moment on the grandest stage at WrestleMania. They wanted to do that, his last big hurrah. But for Gunther, if you want to continue his dominance, he'll be one of your main eventers going forward. Certainly a compelling reason for him to win as well. Even if he does lose, he doesn't have to be the one that gets pinned.
This is their escape hatch match for him. And that's
– sure.
If the idea is split Gunther off from the IC title and get him as the first major opponent for Cody – I'm on board with that, and I think it's a great story to tell, and it's also kind of a moment for him to lose the IC title but not be involved in the pin. I hate that finish for a title match, so I hate even, going down that road because it's just such a lame way for someone to become champion. I mean, Drew pinning Sheamus pins Drew to become IC champ. He pins the guy who isn't even the champion. I just don't like that for Drew. So, but is that a distinct possibility for sure? Is Javier Machado going to predict that in his WrestleMania Night 2 primer? Spoiler alert, yes. And I think it'd be cool for Sheamus to win the title. They certainly told the story that Sheamus has never won this belt and he wants to. It could just be a storyline they put in there to justify the tension between them when they were otherwise friends. So it isn't a tell that for sure Sheamus is going to win. Otherwise, why would they tell that story? Because they told that story because that was what made Sheamus resent Drew inserting himself into that situation. So there's this other reason for that to be brought up, but it absolutely could be part of the finish. But I honestly, if Gunther just hits a finisher on either Drew or Sheamus and wins, and it's not time for Gunther to be in the world title picture against Cody, and they want him to hold the IC title longer, and Drew and Sheamus go on to other things, I think that's fine too. And that's the thing. I mean, this isn't a match where I think there's only one right finish. The right finish is completely dependent upon what they have in mind for each of the other three and the pace at which they want to achieve that.
Right, yeah. And with all that said, I think the right finish is to have Gunther just win it and continue on his road to main eventing. So that's kind of what I want to see.
Yeah. All right, very good. Let's speaking of Javier, let's bring Javier on. In fact, it feels like it's been a while. I'm kind of jonesing for the Javier change. Javier Machado, PW Torch, VIP contributor, PWTorch.com, pay-per-view preview writer. Welcome to the show. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Wade. You're right. I have missed that. I think it's been like 3 weeks since I've
called on one of the post shows. I mean, I've co-hosted with you, but they're calling in. Darren, how's it going, man?
But it's your ringtone, right?
Funny story. You can see
it's
my number on the switchboard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the number, that number is very close to an actual to a radio station down here. It's one digit off.
Oh no. Oh no.
So my phone is always on silent.
So funny.
So no ringtone.
So your number is 305-5. Oh, I'm kidding.
Start calling Spanish radio stations down here and like change one number and you'll probably find it. And Spanish radio stations.
I'm just
going to
call
Spanish
radio stations and ask for Javier.
In the mornings, sometimes they're talking about like Cuba is like, you know, because this is why I have to mute it because I pick it up. He goes, no, porque en Cuba, they see it. And I'm like, it's in the morning and people are like yelling about Cuba. I'm like, dude.
Wow.
But yeah. So,
poor guy.
So never have it on. But it would be if I had the normal number. But today was a fun, good go home show. I really enjoyed the fact that they opened it up with their second biggest story and closed it with their biggest story. So I thought it was definitely a positive. You two talked about the Reigns closing line, basically telling Cody, acknowledge me, which I thought was great. But the Usos also, and they haven't been, they haven't used their like older lines, and still, and some of the stuff that they fed, and they played with that. Sami Zayn mentioning it's not paranoia, that's us coming for your titles. Playing with some of their older catchphrases. And then them, settling into it at the end by saying, and you're here and still, which we haven't heard in a long time from them. So I thought that was also a very, very interesting thing. Jay continues to be awesome with his facial expressions and, when Sammy lands some stiff verbal shots that get through his defenses, talking about loyalty and stuff like that. So I'm really, I think this is the most excited I've been for a WrestleMania for a while.
Cool. I think they've done a really nice job. And I think how noteworthy is it that Sammy and KO and the Usos got like this full segment at the top. Obviously Roman and Cody did at the end, but the women's matches got a passing mention in a video package. It's just, how are you feeling about the match order on Saturday night, Javier?
As in what I think it's going to be.
Yeah. What goes on last?
They might just have to go with the, if they decide, I wouldn't do this, but if they decide to say, hey, we said that the, women are going to main, the winner of the Royal Rumbles are going to be main events. I would just, if you're going to do that, call it, have them. Well, no, you can't have them open on Saturday because that's going to be Cena. But top of the second hour, you say, hey, this is the hour two main event or something like that. I think I would close because the result of the tag match is going to play into the what's going to happen with Cody because. It seems like the Usos losing the titles and then that isolating, if Reigns is going to lose on night two, having him isolated from the rest of the bloodline could be what ends up costing him. So maybe he gets upset that they lost the titles, blows his lid on them, and they walk out on him on night two. And then, he turns to Solo, and then Solo turns around and walks off. So then he doesn't have the bloodline to rely on when he wrestles Cody, and in respect with the finish, I was thinking that Heyman slides in the belt, and Cody turns the tide and hits a crossroad on the WWE Championship to win the title.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so
and again, that's not cheating or taking anything away from Cody, because it would be countering an attempt to cheat by the heels. So that's, you know, less of it. It gives a talking point to Roman and Heyman, but it's not a good one because it's them trying to cheat to win and it backfiring.
Yeah. And what are the percentage chances that, quote unquote, accidentally we get a little bit of blood?
Cody wouldn't mind, would he? He can, you know what? Cody should find out what Don Callis did on Wednesday and try to replicate that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could see it be a situation where they do use the belt on Cody. Referee's out, they use the belt, and, you know, no referee to make the count, so he's able to kick out at the end. And since the belt is still on, because, I ideally you want the heels to actually be successful, but, you know, also not get the victory. That way you even make it more, you know, fair that the baby face, you know, hit the move, and the belt just happened to be there. It's going to be a fun night. I would definitely close with, tag team match, because it's also going to be hard for Ripley and Charlotte to follow that. So
that's the thing. How unfair is that going to be? I mean, it's not, with all due respect to Charlotte and Rhea, where are you on Darren on the final match and how strongly you feel about it?
I think you have to go with the tag team match because it'll send the fans home very happy. I'm presuming that Sammy and KO are going to win. And if that's the plan, then that one should end. But if the Usos are going to win, then you might want to have the Charlotte match go last, because I'm going to presume that Rhea's going to win that one. So I would go with the tag match last, because that's going to be hard to follow anyway, just from an in-ring standpoint. Not saying that Charlotte and Rhea aren't going to go out and tear it up, but that tag match is going to be difficult to follow with the emotions involved and the action of all four of those wrestlers. So I think the safe bet is just to put that last.
What else, Javier? What else, anybody?
The annoying thing about the, because as I wrote the primer, and I really, you know, remembered a lot of stuff about the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, is that they could have done a lot more with that. Because I remember that when Rhea, when Charlotte won that Rumble and challenged Rhea for the NXT title, a lot of people like poo-pooed that, saying that, oh, you know, you made Rhea look bad. Granted, at the time, the idea, you know, was, okay, well, Charlotte's going to, you know, give the rub to somebody in NXT. That never happened. But, but the idea for Ripley was that she would then rebuild herself, win the Royal Rumble, and then challenge Flair. It just took a lot long. You know, that's what I thought was going to happen back then. It just took a lot longer than I expected. But that could, you know, I mean, there is some meat on that bone to tell that story, and they kind of did, but they didn't really hit it as hard as they could. And I think it also didn't help the fact that their roles are reversed, where they're, you know, pretending that Charlotte's a babyface and Rhea Ripley is currently a heel. So, you know, which might be, you know, and that story of Ripley rebuilding herself and coming back, it may be difficult to tell with her being a heel. But I think they really should have – there was more there that they could have done to build up that match. Because that match definitely has a lot more than the Asuka-Bianca match. But I think they could have really gotten a little bit more out of that one.
Yeah. We've been talking about, you know, the option among many of a double turn with Cody and Roman. Charlotte and Rhea has that, and they've kept Rhea apart from Dominic lately. And I don't know. It feels like it's too, like, I don't know that a double turn, given the build in the place that both wrestlers are in, is obvious or is ideal, but I'm not ruling it out either, because that is the best story to tell. And again, Charlotte snapping at the crowd, wadding her, doesn't necessarily mean she's turning heel. It might mean she was just perturbed. And her natural, you know, resting character is kind of heelish. But Javier, what do you make of that? Do you read up into anything about just the lack of the interaction with Dominic?
Maybe because I've got to think that if not during Ripley winning, she's gonna go over. You know, people are gonna like be crazy for her winning the title. I don't think people are gonna. And I know. That's one of the ones I feel really strongly that Ripley wins. It's her story. I mean, that's kind of been like the repeated phrase of, you know, finish the story. And it feels like, you know, we're in a situation where we're seeing a lot of stories either finish or just, you know, either finish. Hopefully the Hell in the Cell finishes that the Edge Balor story, but that's a different story. But, you know, it feels like we're getting to, you know, it really does feel like a lot of stuff is ending or entering the final phase of their storyline. And, you know, so if I think the crowds are going to go nuts for her when she appears on, I don't know if Ripley would appear on Raw, I mean, it's the SmackDown title, but she's also a Raw wrestler, so maybe she'll appear on Raw and, you know, and the crowd will go nuts for her. I think that might be, and then what happens with the Judgment Day? Is the Judgment going to continue after whatever happens with Edge and Balor? Are they going to, you know, is the faction going to continue? You know, if Balor ends up losing, does she get frustrated and leave and go off on her own? I mean, it's a lot of – I'd like to see her as a babyface and not like the babyface she was when she first came over. You know, still keep some of the edge that she currently has. I think I'd like to see, you know, Ripley as a babyface going forward. But it's just that it's going to be – it feels like it's too hard of a right turn with the whole of a sharp turn with, you know, with the whole Dominic thing still being recent. So you hit the nail on the head. The situation doesn't feel exactly ideal for her right now, but she has a lot of charisma, and it feels like a lot of people, you know, things are clicking for her, and I think a lot of people are it feels like the crowd's percolating, really wanting to get behind her right now.
Yeah. Darren, what do you think?
I think eventually you're going to have to re away from Dominic, and I think they are eventually going to take Dominic away from the Judgment Day as well. You can spotlight him on his own. He's got a lot of good heel heat, and he doesn't necessarily need them anymore. Eventually, I mean, at first, yeah, he definitely needed that support, but I think if he goes out on his own, that's going to be good for him, and I think he can retain that level of heat, but he's going to have to split from Rhea, and her beating Charlotte could be the whole impetus for this whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Cool. Javier, can I introduce the topic of Cody shooting on Roman?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we got an email, John from New York City. He wrote on March 20th, I cannot believe Cody took those shots from Roman about not being able to get over and didn't fire back at Roman about him not getting over for years, despite the biggest machine in the business pushing him for almost a decade. Cody's response initially had it set up perfectly as well. When he finished explaining that each member of the Bloodline was going to leave Roman on April 3rd, he could have leaned in the final blow, and then you'll be by yourself. And how over were you the last time you were alone, or something to that effect? Do you agree this is a massive missed opportunity? I feel like this is the second time Cody failed to hit back with a retort that matched Roman's salvo. That was on March 20th. Today he emails and he goes, I feel vindicated after Cody's monologue tonight. He said, well, shooting it only took 8 years and tens of millions of dollars of investment for Roman to deliver. Not exactly my original suggestion below, but dare I say, he went there. Javier, what'd you think of the line?
Well, it's funny because I remember that was the top of a conversation. I might have actually been remembering that actual email. So I thought of that. Because it was interesting because he said that line, but like it felt out of place. I like that he said it, but it felt out of place from the rest of the stuff that he was talking about. It almost felt like Cody might have actually read that email and said, "Oh, that's a great idea," because it came across at the moment that he said it as like a non sequitur almost. Like he had to force it in there.
Not unlike Cody, but yeah.
Yeah, so you know, so but I mean, it worked. It worked because, you know, and I like the way that he delivered it, saying that, you know, they put all the millions of dollars they spent on you to build who you are, and hey, you paid off 8 years after 8 years into an 11-year build. So I thought that was a cute way to phrase it. And yeah, I dug it. I did end up digging it, but yeah, I mean, congrats for the to the email.
Yeah. All right, cool. What else is on your agenda for us, Javier? What else stood out?
The and I was just thinking about the amazing story that you have a guy who leaves the WWE under, you know, not the best of circumstances, goes out to the independents, rebuilds himself, does some really interesting, cool stuff there, returns, and then when he hits the main roster, they put him with Baron Corbin as his backup.
Darren, any thoughts?
Referred to...
No.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm just – because that was one of the funny things I was thinking about because I brought this up with my brother the other day, that it I realized that Cody's story, like particularly his part of it, because I know it also, you know, encompasses his father not winning the WWE title. But, you know, Cody's story, I'm like, wow, wait a minute. Story is also Drew McIntyre's story. And, you know, Drew followed the same footsteps, but then when he, you know, when he had the chance between COVID and then, you know, some bad decisions, he wasn't able to pull it off. And, I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, Drew, I don't know, man. Drew, if I'm Drew, I'm like, man, it's just like bad breaks. And here you have Cody Rhodes basically playing the role that would have been, that was Drew's story.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening with Drew is before the Cody falling out with AEW seemed like this could have been an absolute Drew McIntyre moment, especially if they, you know, didn't spend it on a different, you know, a Survivor Series and an overseas show and you know, somehow saved it or built it to a moment at Mania. Javier, who do you think would you rather have, a well-protected Drew McIntyre with a story arc peaking now in place of Cody, or is Cody better in that spot? They're both about the same age.
I would have preferred, I think I would have preferred Drew McIntyre, particularly on how he was before that, you know, at his peak, based on what we saw. Mm-hmm. I mean, a part of the problem is that a lot of that was during the actual, you know, no crowd era. So, and, you know, so around that time, I remember back then Drew felt different, and part of it is because during that point, like, no one was protected. And at that point, when they started building up Drew after Drew broke away from Corbin, he felt like the only protected member of the roster as they built him up to face Brock Lesnar. It was interesting, and this is what I loved, was the fact that after Brock Lesnar, and he had one fight with Lashley, and then Lashley became protected to build him up as, like, the, you know, Lashley coming up to eventually take on Drew McIntyre, which I think, you know, which, again, it's all that happened during empty crowds, and I thought that was, like, really well done. It's just that, you know, it's hard to gauge how successful it was. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that, you know, that's why I was one of the people who was pushing hard for Drew to win in Cardiff, because that could have been the moment that we're seeing with Cody right now, that, you know, Cody coming in and, you know, finishing the story. Drew winning at Cardiff would have also been, you know, finishing the story, I thought. So that could have been another moment. But, and the reason I would pick Drew over Cody is because Drew also has a way to interact with the audience. Thing about Cody is that Cody's very measured, and you can tell that every single word that he says is very meticulously picked and plucked out and planned. And the thing with Cody, I think what that ends up happening with Cody is that when everything is, like, perfect, where you have the right heel, he's going up against the right heel and everything's perfect, people are going to gravitate to that. But the moment that you end up with a situation where he's, you know, he's wrestling with, you know, he's going up against somebody who doesn't really fit his, you know, his paradigm, mm-hmm. basically, you start seeing through, you know, the casual audience starts seeing through what would be like the manipulation that Cody's putting you through. And I think that's when you start seeing through the, Rich Mitchell did an article about the seeing through the con, and I think that when fans start seeing through the con, that's when the fans actually will turn on him because they see him as fake. So ultimately, I think, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Then he could run with that. You know, if he embraces that, he can run with that and use that as fuel for a heel run. But, you know, that's what happened in AEW, and he didn't turn heel. He stayed as, you know, trying to pretend to be a babyface. And, you know, that's why a lot of us were joking that he's Homelander from The Boys. You know, he thinks he's a babyface, but in reality, he's the heel. So, you know, and I think at some point with Cody, it's inevitable that that's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, and when Cody starts seeing the check stubs for Roman or the bank statements for the money that Roman's getting for being a top-level heel, he might lower his resistance and think twice about how important that charity work is as a babyface or his, you know, wanting to be a babyface. And you want to be over as a babyface before you turn. That's ideal, as opposed to a failure as a babyface who turns. Obviously, you can make it work either way, but, you know, a good faith effort for him to be a face first can work. Darren, your thoughts on that? I'm curious what you think of the Cody Drew option that I proposed to Javier.
I would, of the two, probably go with Cody. I think he has a little bit more range, a little more charisma. And a big factor to me is he has a little more history to play off of. Of course, his father, of course, we heard about that. Paul Heyman in the history, of course, with his dad and himself. AEW, it's you have a little bit more storyline fodder to play with there. And so I would kind of go with Cody. With that said, it would make a compelling feud, though, to have them go against each other with Drew if he were to turn heels. We kind of alluded to earlier playing that role about it should have been me, and you have a lot of material and background to make a compelling case for that, as Javier just pointed out. So down the line, if Cody does take the belt this weekend, that's somebody that you could get ready for Cody after maybe he got there, you have Drew on deck, of course your rematches or whatever. So that's something to think about.
Javier, what do you think of Cole's comment we mentioned early in the show that Cody went to Hollywood trying to be an actor and came home with his tail between his legs after failing as an 18-year-old?
I actually missed that, and I'm beginning to think that might be an April joke, Fool's joke from you, because I can't believe that Cole actually said that.
Yeah. He did. No joke.
I was going to give him props because he outdid Matthew Rahal for the best line of the week for me. But I'm going to have to give that back to Matthew Rahal, and I'm probably butchering his name. But, yeah. You know the line I'm talking about,
well, anyway.
Darren?
Yo, what was the line?
For Matthew, when he said if for some it was during the Speedball Mike Bailey Hiroshi Tanahashi match, Ray Holt said, if for some dumb reason you've never seen Hiroshi Tanahashi, well, then you're dumb.
I did hear that.
At which point Tom Phillips, I'm forgetting what his real name is, you're really taking on the fans tonight. But because he got stuck and he's like, you're just dumb. So I really enjoyed that. And for Cole, the line was when Wade asked him, who do you think is going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? And he goes, oh, Top Dollar. He goes, really? Why? He goes, because he can't go over the top row. Going back to that whole thing.
They won't let that go. They will not let that go. It's going to be...
But if he said that about Cody, like, you know, he's supposed to be your next guy. He's like, oh yeah, he filmed in Hollywood, and particularly since, like, you know, a big like thing on Reigns is, like, you know, when's Reigns gonna go to Hollywood? When is he in movies? Like, he's gonna be filmed in Hollywood, and
yeah,
you know, it's like kind of, you know, it's kind of I don't know. Maybe that was a little bit of a shoot comment, I think, coming out there.
Yeah, maybe. So what else on your mind, Javier, if anything else?
I think that's about it. Because you gave the spoiler alert for how I think the three-way match with Gunther's going to end up turning up. It's been basically their MO for a while now, because they did that. That's actually how Lashley lost the Intercontinental title before he went out. He moved up to the feud with Drew.
Yeah.
And I think there's somebody else who lost it that way. I think, was it Riddle who lost it in the three way?
I don't remember for sure.
Because I think it was – I knew Riddle was involved. I don't know if Riddle ended up being the one – no.
Yeah.
You know, I think Riddle ended up the one winning it from Lashley. But it happened twice where the person they were building up and, you know, they used
yeah.
it as an excuse for them to lose to – so I think, you know – and I mean, in person, I'm trying
yeah.
to will it into existence because I'd like to see, you know, Gunther involved in, you know, top-level stuff, particularly with the with Imperium at his side. So I do have a question for you guys.
You don't want that to become a thing. You don't want it to be a trope that fans just see coming either, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it, but it's like in this case, it's worth the for me. I think it's worth the outcome ends up being worth the
sure
the situation.
And
we're talking
I understand
about
that argument.
Like once a year, or so at most.
Right, right. But if you only do. Long, you know, a long title reign and a triple threat once. I mean, if the only time you do the triple threat with a strong champion, then it can become a trope, but even once a year.
I do have a question, though. Likely after WrestleMania, we're going to end up seeing some people be moved up, not necessarily just from NXT, but like moved up the roster, because I think next year is going to have my pick for next year is going to be Bronson Reed, because I think he's going to be doing, you know, more important stuff in the coming year.
Yeah.
Do either of you have any favorites that you think are going to be that are currently bit players and are likely going to see more in the coming year?
Darren, what do you think? I have not thought specifically about that other than just general observations over time, but I'll put thought into it as I throw to you.
The first one that comes to mind for me is L.A. Knight that's currently on the main roster. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him do something over the WrestleMania, the two big shows over the weekend. But that's somebody I think that they see something in. So the fact that, if I'm not mistaken, he beat Rey Mysterio last week shows, and even though it was like a fluke with outside interference, I think they might see something in him. So. Wouldn't surprise me to see him get more airtime in the coming year. As far as like NXT people, I think they have big plans for like Tiffany Stratton. Those are the two that come to mind, though.
So these two are like polar opposites, but who's going to have a better year to year, you know, WrestleMania to WrestleMania, 12-month period, Johnny Gargano or Rick Boogs?
Gargano.
I don't know. I don't – Gargano just seems like he's a little lost out there, and Boogs sort of has this, like, you know, cult-like, over-the-top enthusiasm. Yeah, it's like – Boogs is a little bit of a guilty pleasure. Like, whatever he's doing isn't grating on me like whatever Mojo Rawley did for the 40 years he was hanging out on the lower card and never went away. There's something about Boogs that, like, it's he's so into it. It's just sort of like I can't, like, look away or hate him. And Gargano just seems just kind of like he's going to be a little bit lost. But I look totally crazy for saying that, you know, 10 months from now, because Gargano's so talented. But mm-hmm. just in terms of like how cold, ice cold Gargano seemed in the storyline with Dexter versus Boogs just seeming like, and granted, Boogs isn't going to be main eventing or anything, but it shows what I think the floor might be for Gargano. But Javier, anyone else come to mind besides Bronson Reed, who I think is a very good pick, and I like Darren picking out LA Knight too, although I think there's a lower ceiling for Knight than Bronson Reed.
Well, if they bring back, you know, if he's healthy and he comes back, I think Ciampa coming back could be what revitalizes Gargano in the tag team division. That is actually what I think, you know, as my third pick, I think we might end up seeing like a revitalization of the tag team division. Once the Usos no longer have the titles, because I mean they sneakily have been putting together some good, you know, I like the Braun Strowman Ricochet team. I like
Ricochet,
the, you know,
yeah.
the idea of yeah. I like that concept. The Viking Raiders is a little bit on the hokey side with the, you know, too much into the the mystical, they're really Vikings kind of thing, but at least they, you know, which keeps them from feeling as dangerous as they probably should. But, you know, Street Profits, although, you know, who knows if they're going to be sticking together in the long term. New Day, having the New Day, like, new, you know, part of the problem with the New Day is that they almost seem to be feuding with, like, the same people all over and over again. So seeing, you know, fresh blood for them to wrestle with, I think that might be, like, something less like an individual. I would have Bronson Reed, LA Knight, and then, you know, the tag team division becoming a little bit more important.
Yeah, I hope we see that, and I hope that the credibility of the Usos' title reign does pass along to the next champions, and that the title doesn't get lost, or they don't put, you know, just throw tag title matches or title contenders out there in sort of a flippant way. I think they've got something special building this up, and there's no reason not to try hard to keep the prestige at the level that it's attained or somewhere near it, as opposed to how it's, you know, frankly, they're usually treated. All right, Javier, appreciate it. We got a big weekend ahead. It's going to be fun.
Yep. And, everybody check out the primer. I just sent you the Night 2 one. So, So check that out.
Night 1 is up.
Yeah, good to share it with people who normally don't watch the show. So, have a good night. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to listening to your take on it's not Multiverse of Madness. What was it called? That was last year's.
What was what called? I missed what you said there.
Darren, the multiverse for Impact and New Japan?
Oh, Multiverse United?
Okay, Multiverse United, yeah. Because Multiverse of Madness, sorry, that was the Doctor Strange movie. Multiverse of Matches was last year. I'm looking forward to finally getting around to listen to your take on that.
Cool. Excellent. And Javier, we'll talk to you Sunday night on the VIP Roundtable, too.
Have a good night, guys. Always good talking to you, Darren.
You too.
Excellent. Darren, anything else in your notes you want to say before we sign off here tonight?
No, I think we covered everything.
Cool. Well, thank you, Darren. Appreciate you co-hosting tonight. Thanks to Javier. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our emailer. Thanks to our listeners, and we got a big weekend ahead, so go VIP so you can be on board for all of it. Don't miss out on our what should be tremendous coverage on all fronts this weekend. Darren, have a good weekend, and I will be unable to leave my premises with this blizzard coming, which is probably a good thing for a weekend like this.
Well, good timing, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. All right, take care.